Blog Talk Radio.
There will be days that just go wrong. Make you wanna holler and shout. Hands up in the air, wondering what it's all about. When you think that things can't get much worse, in a second, oh, everything just goes south. Keep on keeping on, whatever don't kill you makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. Take it one day at a time. God's grace, you're gonna be fine. You got what it takes down inside. Road ain't alone. Keep on keeping on. Stand in your way.
They're always
saying what you cannot do. Don't stop chasing your dreams and working hard to make them come true. Oh. And if it ever gets too tough, just remember. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. Take it one day at a time. With God's grace, you're gonna be fine. You got what it takes down inside. The road ain't long. Keep on keeping on. Keeping on, whatever don't kill you makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. I'll give you one better time. With God's grace, you're gonna be fine. You got what it takes down inside.
Keeping on, this is Contending for Truth Radio. This is our American Sovereignty Radio show that we do each Tuesday night with Dan Wilson down in Florida, Jennifer Montrose down in Alabama, and I, Scott Osborne, in Mesquite, Texas. We have got a great show tonight for you folks. We are going to talk about some Alabama. And if you're a regular listener to this show, you know, of course, because Jennifer Montrose is down in Alabama, part of it. But I think Alabama rocks. There's a lot of great things always going on in Alabama. The people in Alabama have got the fight going on. We've got Frederick Douglass, Republicans based down there. Kate Carl Smith doing a lot of hard work. Dale Peterson, Jonathan Barbee, Trey Edwards, just a whole bunch of fighters down there, and of course our own Jennifer Montrose. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of places where some things are going on, where, you got some things going on with the Second Amendment up in Connecticut and out in California, You know, but I'm going to tell you, I think the left would be very, very smart to stay out of Alabama and out of Texas when it comes to taking guns. I think they would find themselves on the wrong end of the muzzle. I'm going to tell you, folks, because you know, certain places where certain rights are just so very, very important, and our Second Amendment rights are one of the most important rights. It's how we protect the Constitution. You know, those men, and Dan and I talk a lot, especially on Saturday Symposium with Dan Wilson and I on Saturdays. We talk a lot about the summer of 1787. And those wise founders got together in that room for a couple of months, and they all agreed on one thing. The federal government could not micromanage. And they set aside that Constitution. And one of the provisions that they gave us to help protect that Constitution was our Second Amendment right. Because they knew, those men knew history. They knew what happens when a government gets overbearing, and they knew that at some point the American citizens might have to protect themselves from a tyranny again, like they had fled not too long before that constitutional convention. And you know, folks, so we're going to talk a lot tonight about our Second Amendment rights, and we're going to talk about the fight that's going on in Alabama to protect those rights. You know, folks, that's what this show is all about. We like to share information. We want to give you BamaCarry.org. BamaCarry.org. Go there while we're listening and check it out. See what's going on. While Eddie is talking to us about it, Eddie Fulmer, he's the president and the director. With that, I'm going to pass it over to Dan Wilson for his opening remarks, and then we will bring, with no further ado, Eddie Fulmer right into the discussion. Dan.
That sounds good, and right now we're dealing with our first tropical storm of the year, Arthur, and he's sitting due east of me right now and giving me hot and miserable weather, so not too happy about that. And, you know, when it comes to Second Amendment, I don't think they would do too well over in Florida either. I know somebody's going to have to pull my 1911 out of my dead hand because I'm not giving it to anybody. And I know a lot of people, we have six militias already set up inside the state. So I don't think they would do too well with trying to steal our weapons from here. And virtually every gun shop in the state has a militia attached to it, so, which is right. And, you know, we have a president who thinks he's a dictator. I mean, he's turning around. He believes he can do anything he damn well pleases, and he invokes executive privilege. And the guy doesn't even know what Article 2 is of our Constitution. That prevents him from just going in and doing what he damn well pleases without referring to Congress and the Senate. He is not, the Senate and Congress are not the ones who have to bow to him. He needs to understand that he needs permission out of Congress and the Senate before he can proceed on a lot of things. And this president seems to think he's God Almighty, and we need some major changes here. With that, I'll pass it back over to you, Scott.
And that's so true, Dan. And we're watching a big fight right now. This is watching history of what's going on. We're watching the Supreme Court and Congress, our other two branches of government. By the way, we know you're listening, Barack Obama and NSA. There are three branches of government, just to let you know on that little piece of information. We are watching as that fight goes down. The Supreme Court basically gave a big slap the last few days to Barack Obama, and I believe Congress is stepping up as well. And I'm going to tell you, folks, you watch Dianne Feinstein out in California. I've never seen her so angry. I disagree with her 90% of the time, but I will say she is intellectually honest. She is very angry at Barack Obama right now, and she could single-handedly pull a bunch of Democrats in the Senate towards impeachment if she got angry enough. So keep that in mind, folks. He's getting slapped down. We're watching it. I've said for a long time that this was going to be the summer that we watch Barack Obama really go down, and I think we're starting to see it. With that, with no further ado, we want to bring our guest in, Eddie Fulmer. Eddie Fulmer is the president and the director of Bamacare. I will let him tell you about that, but go to Bamacare, BAMACARRY.org, and you can find all the information there. You can find their Twitter and their Facebook, so on and so forth. Be sure to like those. Tweet and retweet. Of course, this show is all about energizing our grassroots. So get out there and help Eddie spread the word, especially if you're in Alabama. We got some great Alabama friends down there. Eddie, how are you doing? It's good to have you on the show again. And if you could just tell us a little bit about yourself, and then tell us about Bamacare and the purpose and what you guys are doing and how it's going.
Well, okay. I appreciate you having me on here tonight, Scott. It's always a privilege to get to talk with you and Dan, and I got a few things I want to say to Dan too that really raised, but we'll hold off on that for just a few minutes. Scott, I got in the gun rights fight probably about just a little over 4 years ago, and it was an overstep of the city that I was actually working for, and got to looking at our gun rights, and I thought, man, what is going on here? Got online and searched and found out the rights for myself, and found out a lot of things that I thought were true weren't true. And out of that and getting together with some good patriotic citizens here in the city of Tuscaloosa and some other cities in Alabama, we started fighting for our gun rights. And out of all this, Bamacare was born about 2 years ago, and we incorporated I think it was November of last year. And right now on our Facebook page, we're running over 8,000 members, and we have about around 10% of those or so are vested members or paying members. And, Scott, we're growing every day. And our mission, and, of course, you can see it on the Bamacare.org page, is basically what we are is an educational organization that tries to educate citizens and law enforcement and basically anybody that will listen about the rights they have in the state of Alabama. And y'all got a pretty good fight going on out there in Texas too, buddy. Let me tell you, it seems like our politicians are just trying to bend over backward to do everything they can to keep us from exercising our Second Amendment rights anywhere. So, it's been a ride. I never thought we would be where we are today when we started this organization off, but we're growing by leaps and bounds. People are joining, and man, it's been great. It's great to see people get involved. We got little organizations, little groups. Well, some of them aren't little in different cities and counties in Alabama, and we're raising up people that and educating them about our rights. And you know, the sad thing about it is, Scott, if you don't know what your rights are, you'll give those suckers away in a heartbeat and not even know it. You know,
amen.
That's about what happened here in Alabama. And I know a lot of people don't like open carry, and we're not all about open carry. We're about gun rights, period. And we think a law-abiding citizen who is legally able to own a handgun, he wants to openly concealed or in his vehicle, and shouldn't even have to have a permit. That's what our founding fathers intended. All these magazine bans and stuff that's going on, you know, our forefathers were some smart cookies, buddy. Will you agree with me on that?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. They were some smart cookies. They knew what was coming down the road. I honestly believe they did. And that's the reason they put shall not infringe on there. You know, our farmers and from way back when we were fighting in the Revolutionary War, they had the most modern guns or the same kind of weapons that our soldiers had, you know, albeit it was just a single shot musket most of the time or muzzle loading rifle. It was still as modern as the military had. And, you know, that's the way it should be today. You know, they want to ban a 15-round magazine. Well, no, I don't really need 15 rounds to hunt. But that's not what the Second Amendment is about. And that's what we got to get people to understand, you know. If we don't stand up, we're in a losing battle. I'm not so sure we can save the Fed, but I believe we can save our state. And I think that's where the fight's got to start. You know, and I'm pretty adamant about that. And, you know, we've made some enemies. And I'm going to tell you right now, brother, if you stand up for the Constitution and take a stand for something, if you try to hold lawmakers to the Constitution, if you try to hold them to the oath that they took, that they swore to uphold the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, these folks are going to hate you. And you know what? That's okay, too.
Well, and you know what? It is. And one thing I want to throw in here real quick, I forgot to mention, Jennifer Montrose will be here shortly. She has been so busy, as we've discussed each week, working to save Tony the Tiger. She is in the middle of a business dinner. She will be calling in here shortly. But, you know, you mentioned something so very important, so very vital, Eddie. And my grandmother taught me, she was the one that inspired me for my love for politics and current events. And she taught me you can take every basic conservative constitutional value and bring it close to home and make it very simple. And the word infringe is one of those things. It's very, very simple. And all you have to do is think of what is a fringe. A fringe is the edge of the garment, the little tassels, or around a carpet, you've got a fringe. The fringe is the edges. When they said, no infringing, they meant don't even try and mess around the edges, let alone get into the middle of the carpet. They were some smart, smart cookies. You know, and we are having the fight down here. Of course, I'll tell you, it's kind of an interesting one to watch because Texas is such an interesting state. Our Democrats here, the giant bulk of them, are rather conservative. We've even seen Wendy Davis step up on the stage holding her gun. And our Democrats here aren't going to put up with a whole lot of gun control, no more than the conservative Republicans are. It's a very small fraction of the far left here in Texas that are trying to wage that battle, and they lose every time. We just turn around and tell them, come and take it. We tell Barack Obama all the time, come and take it. Is it basically the same? I would imagine the same in Alabama. I would imagine you've got a bunch of Democrats that support Obamacare as well.
I think we do. You know, we're not politically party, go down party lines anyway. We're for politicians and lawmakers. Actually, we would really like to be for some statesmen, Scott.
Exactly.
What we'd like, and you know, but we're not Democrat, Republican. You know, the Constitutional Party, Libertarian, we're whoever supports the freedoms that our forefathers intended and whoever will stick to the Constitution and use that. You know, that's the rule book that we gave our government to operate. You know, that's what people don't understand, you know. The government is supposed to work for us, and we have gotten that role reversed. We spend a lot of our time looking up to our government when we should be looking down, you know, and It really gives me great pleasure to open somebody's eyes as to, you know, what our role is, you know, in the government. And this, we gave them that rule book, and we have to make sure they follow it. If they break the rules, we have to hold them accountable for it. And they don't want to be held accountable. I'm telling you, they do not want to be held accountable. I want to get back with Dan down there just a little bit. He was talking about Florida down there and their gun laws, and this is just to show you, know, we got some screwed up gun laws too, and you know, we didn't get this way overnight, so we're not going to get everything back with one big swoop without a ton of money and a giant lawsuit. But just to show you a little bit, and I'm sure Dan knows this, but in Florida, they used to be able to openly carry a handgun down there, and the best I remember is Janet Reno. Y'all remember Janet Reno, right? Branch Davidians and all that stuff?
Yeah, oh, yeah, the woman with a little red truck.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And she slipped in a bill down there from what I remember. that done away with open carry in Florida, and they've been trying to get it. Y'all been trying to get it back there for a long time, but the bill still allows you to open carry if you're going fishing or going hunting. So you can legally walk down the beach down there in Florida with a fishing pole going fishing with a big old 44 on your hip if you want to. But if you put that fishing rod down, you're in trouble, buddy. You know, and that just goes to show you how crazy it is. And he was, Dan, I don't understand how come you like Obama so much, you know, because I guess because maybe he gave everyone a gun across the border and he gave us Obama phones. What do you think?
That's about what he did. I mean, I had to go out and get my 1911, and then, you know, and here in damn Florida, have you ever tried to conceal a 1911? You know,
I don't bother. I don't bother in Alabama. We just throw them out in the open, buddy. You know.
You know, 1911.
Why would you want to hide such a pretty pistol, Dan?
I know. I think it's gorgeous. I mean,
yeah,
I want to show it off. And they're telling
right.
me I got to put it under my shirt. So by the time I get the damn, if I ever need it, by the time I get the damn thing out, my shirt will be ripped. You know, I'll be, it'll be a mess. This concealed carry is BS. I mean, it's total crap, and we're fighting tooth and nail to get that, you know, removed again, so I can just put it on my, you know, on my side, and then I can show off my nice, pretty government issue 1911, and, you know, and then if I need it, then it's just a matter of a little snap. And I could have that thing out and ready to go in a matter of a couple seconds. And that's, well, that's what it's supposed to be. Why else?
That's exactly right. You know, one thing that we've been called out on, Bama Carry's been called out on a lot, and we've taken a lot of heat about it, is we're a no-compromise group. And basically what that means is we are not – giving up one right so that we may have another. And, you know, we just couldn't be for a piece of legislation like that. And, you know, if you compromise, it's always they want to take more of your rights. You know, and somebody put a little cartoon on our Bama Carry page here, not today, I believe it was, and they came and they wanted part of the cake. If you're talking about compromise, they wanted half the cake. So we gave them half, and then it came back, and they wanted the other half. And then you wind up, we ain't got but a quarter of the rights that we had. Then they come back and want to nibble on it some more. And the first thing you know, through compromise, you've lost every right you had. And so we're not in the business of compromise, and that makes some people quite angry. One thing I'd like to share with you, we seem to be having a big problem with here in Alabama, and I know you wanted to kind of go over Alabama, Scott, was we got a new law passed last year, and it's 2013-283. If you go to the Bama Carry page, you'll have to join up to see, but if we'll let you in on that page. Most everybody gets right in on the Facebook page, and it's in the files there, and it's also on the BamaCarry.org webpage. Go to the law section, 2013-283. And Alabama exempts all gun laws, or preempts all gun laws, to our legislature. Basically meaning that cities, counties, municipalities do not have the right to pass gun law. And that's pretty impressive, but they are doing that anyway because there's no teeth in the preemption law. Now, I know Florida has teeth in theirs. I've read y'all's, and Dan, y'all got a good preemption law down there. I read
right.
in the Cala newspaper, you know, where that said the no-gun signs are coming down because it was getting in the city's pocket. Y'all passed a law, and it was several years ago, where they, if the city violated that preemption statute, it cost the person, the violator, not the city, but whoever ordered the sign put up, and a bunch of y'all's signs came down. I know they did. And mm-hmm. But we have preemption here, and we also, in the new law, we have a provision where that if there's a violation, if the citizen believes there's a violation, we're able to file a complaint with the Attorney General. And it's in, if you look in 2013-283, it's in Section 7. And basically it says if anything, if they just tell you, this is how they put it, if they just tell you that that you can't have it there, you know, they just inform you or they infer to you that you can't carry it, then you have a right to bring a petition or a complaint to the Attorney General. And this is what the code of the state of Alabama dictates that the Attorney General will do. Our Attorney General is Luther Strange. Now, there may be something going on in his office we don't know about, but he tells us he's Second Amendment friendly, and we see him all the time in hunting clothes and camouflage clothes holding a shotgun. And, you know, it would make me feel better if he said, I'm Second Amendment friendly, he had a 1911 like Dan's got on his side walking down the street. But
exactly.
This is what our code says. I'm going to read this right out of the code. It says the Attorney General shall either bring an action. Now, this is after a citizen or an organization, and I file several complaints with the Attorney General. The Attorney General shall either bring an action or publicly state within 90 days of receipt of the petition in the written justification why a violation of the spirit of this section has not occurred. So he has to tell us why he thinks that it's not a violation, or he has to take action on it. And it's interesting, and I just noticed it tonight, why a violation of the spirit of this section. The spirit of the section of 2013-283 was to allow more freedoms for the firearm owners or the citizens of the state of Alabama. And what our elected officials and cities and counties have done is turned this around and butchered this to the point that they're using this now and quoting this law and putting signs on buildings saying no weapons. And we have not been able, I would dare say that our group has filed a minimum of 40 complaints with the Attorney General. We've had one answer. Every one of these complaints were filed in 2013 that I'm speaking of. There's probably been some more this year, but it specifically says within 90 days. Now, when you call the Attorney General, and I got a hold of somebody at the Attorney General's office, and they wouldn't tell me anything except it was under investigation. I said, well, you had 90 days. I said, those 90 days are gone. I said, how will I know, you know, if you've taken care of this, looked at it, or what? Well, if the sign's down, you'll know we've taken care of it. But that's not what the law says. So our problem here is we have an Attorney General that is not following the law. And we are kind of in a tizzy as to exactly where to go with this. You know, if you're going to file a lawsuit, we got to have a lot of money. That's the sad thing about it. You know, we're being violated, and he's not answering our complaints. You know, I don't know where to go on this. And we're talking with some lawyers, you know, on it. And so we'll see where this goes, because it's got to go somewhere. We can't sit back and take this. You know, he's got to respond one way or the other, or he's going to have to be impeached. I mean, you know, what else do we do?
Well, exactly. And go ahead, Dan.
Go ahead. Okay. You have no choice. I mean, it's – well, for one thing, who the hell is going to be walking down the street with a Remington 1100? You know, not exactly the most convenient weapon to carry. And number two is, you know, there, as you said, they took the spirit of the law and changed it. But it sounds very familiar. I mean, look at what our president's doing. I mean,
exactly.
this is our problem right now, is that if our president can get away with it and our attorney generals can get away with it, look at what they did in Florida with that Martin case. They, once the call came down, Holder came down into Florida and put the screws to everybody, forcing a trial to be brought up so they could grandstand. And it's how do you attack that? Unless you cut off the head of the snake, this type of crap is going to be going on, throughout the nation, because we can't stop it. I mean, look at what's going on in Connecticut. They're going around grabbing them now. As I said, somebody ever tries to grab my 1911, good luck. I got some hollow points that I could, that's sitting in a few magazines, and I'll be happy to stick them in there. I don't want to go that way, but I'll tell you this much, nobody's going to take that away from me. Our forefathers gave us that right, and just like I've been saying to people right now, is pick up your AKs, pick up your ARs, and there's conversion kits that you can get. And if you know some people with, little machining skills. Because you know something? The Constitution tells us that we need weapons that are equivalent to what we're going against. And I hate to say it, a semi going against a fully automatic weapon, there's no comparison. And me and my little, 1911, I only can pull the trigger so fast, and I only got 7 rounds. So 7 rounds ain't gonna last too long. And I can go through 500 rounds in a matter of probably 15 minutes if I had to, but, we got to take away these riot laws. And say enough is enough, because they took around. They did not read the Constitution, or they totally ignored it actually. And just like Obama, right now is bypassing Congress right and left because they aren't saying what he wants them to say, so he's invoking executive privilege. Well, you forgot what Article 2 is of our Constitution. This guy supposedly taught law that he knows what Article 2 is. And you cannot invoke executive privilege if you don't like what Congress says. We got to start standing up against it. And the Supreme Court needs to, I loved what they did last week. And, but they need to do a lot more. And Congress, Boehner has been about as useful as udders on a bull. He has done nothing.
Right here, here in Alabama, Dan, we call that tits on a boar hog.
Yeah, I'm trying to be nice. Hey, we got more cows over here.
There you go.
But, yeah, it's like, Congress is useless. And the Senate had been sitting to Congress going, bring it over. We'll throw it out. So it's been a friggin' mess, you know, and I'm hoping it changes this come November so we can at least put the brakes on this son of a bitch. I mean, and I'll pass it over to you, Scott.
All right, and, you know, it's such an important fight. And this is really, it goes to the crux, Daddy, of the fight that we're having right now all across the country. And that's people just not following the laws that we've got. And I don't like it when the Republicans do it or the Democrats. I don't care if you're Green Party, Libertarian Party, or the Purple Party. We follow our laws. And we don't always like our laws. It's a law in this country that abortion is legal. I don't like that law. However, I believe there's a way of going about changing that law. And I don't believe we break the law in order to go about changing that law, as abhorrent as I believe abortion is. And we've got this problem, and it's really big time on the left because they've got an ends justify the means mentality. And Eric Holder is doing the exact same thing. He's just not, absolutely not, following the law or doing his job, which is basically to make sure everybody else does. And it's a fight we're going to continue to have. We know that. You know, those founding fathers were so wise because they all understood history. They knew the pattern of man. And the pattern of man, what we knew, when I was a young child, my grandmother told me, laid out exactly the direction this country was going to continue to go in. And we know that. And we know this fight is going to continue to get worse, but it's a fight that we can definitely win. You know, Eddie, one of the things that we do on this show is we support candidates. We support good candidates, and I'm glad you used the word statesman, because we use the word statesman on this show a lot. We've got a candidate here in Texas, Sid Miller. I encourage you to look him up. He is one of the best candidates I've ever supported. He's a statesman. When he was in the State House, he's running for agricultural commissioner right now, but when he was in the State House, he did exactly what he said he was going to do, whether it was uncomfortable or not, whether everybody liked it or not. He stood by his principles, and that's a statesman. We got too many politicians in our State House. We got too many politicians in Washington, D.C. They follow the money. They do whatever they want. But we've got to get our statesmen. We've got to find these people that are willing to stand up and fight and do what's right. So I'd like you to just give me a small list of some of the better candidates that you've got in Alabama. Let our listeners know. They can look them up. Give them a little bit of support. That are 100% behind the Second Amendment there in Alabama.
Ooh, you asked for something that I'm not really ready to say. We have endorsed a few candidates up to as high as a sheriff, but we've actually, Scott, not gone any higher than that with Bama Carey.
Well, that's great, because let me tell you, we support a lot of local races around here. So any good sheriffs, anything you can give us.
Yeah, we have I don't know exactly where to go with this. One thing I want to back up just a little bit that Dan was talking about, I want to make sure that people understand that Bama Carey is not advocating that we get a drop-in officer or anything, AR-15 and stockpile machine guns or anything. So if you do that, just know that Bama Carey didn't advise you nor encourage you to do that.
Well,
but
the old thing
I know where you're coming from,
that.
Though, Dan. I know where you're coming from, though, Dan.
Writers will destroy us completely.
You're exactly right.
And that's what I'm really going at more than anything else. Because all they keep on doing is you keep on adding writers till there's no more amendment.
That's
you
exactly
know?
Right. And I want to address that just a little bit, too, here, and I don't intend to dodge your question, Scott. We got some good candidates that are on the ballot right now, and but we're going to hold off endorsing any of them until a little bit later on in the year for the main election coming up in November. If
that is
okay.
No problem whatsoever.
One
and
thing,
I
you know,
do. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, sir, you first.
Right. No, go ahead. It's fine.
Dan was talking about we need to get – I'm sorry, you were talking about we need to get people to follow the law, you know, and I agree. But the problem with that is the people, if we don't follow the law, we pay the price. And if our politicians don't follow the law, oh, well. You know, and that really just infuriates me that they get away with so much because it's difficult to hold them accountable. I may have mentioned this last time that I was on your show, but we have discovered, and we really got some good sheriffs in Alabama, and this is not to slam the sheriffs at all. There's some that need slamming. Yes, there are, because they have they've done some things. They've stood against our rights. Many of them have. But, you know, in Alabama, we got a little section called Section 94. And I've got it right here. I had it right here. But anyway, we have a union, so to speak, called the Alabama Sheriff's Association here in Alabama. And every sheriff in the state of Alabama is a member of the Alabama Sheriff's Association. Now, the problem with that is that there's dues that must be paid to this Alabama Sheriff's Association, okay? All right. In Section 94 of our Constitution, and I'm going to read it to you right here because I got it right in front of me. This is Section 94, political subdivisions not to grant public money or lend credit to individuals or corporations, and so on and so forth. And then right under that, in A, it says the legislature shall not have power to authorize any county, city, town, or other subdivision of this state to lend its credit to grant public money or thing of value and aid to any individual, association, or corporation. That's all I need to read right there in that, to association. Okay, the problem is what's happening in almost all of the counties are the county is funding the dues for the local sheriff to be a member of this association, the Alabama Sheriff's Association. It's in direct conflict with the Constitution of the state of Alabama. Very plainly, it says here, the legislature shall not have power. This is our rule book that we gave to the legislatures and our lawmakers to follow. However, in the 70s, they said it's okay to do that. But yet we never gave them the authority to do that. Because remember, we are the people. We the people. We're the people that gave them these laws. And yet they're not following them. So what happens is the Alabama Sheriff's Association stood against our vehicle carry bill this year. Stood against it. Every state in the Southeast has vehicle carry without a permit, except Alabama. And they said they would be carnage in the street, road rage, people would have guns, and they'd be shooting everybody. None of the other states had any problems with it like that. So, you know.
Oh, heck no.
But,
I mean.
Yeah.
My 1911 sits right on the back floor. All I have to do is reach behind me. And I have it in my hand. You know, I leave it in my face, and I just pop the latch off so I can get to it quickly.
Well, in Alabama, we don't have that privilege unless we buy that privilege from our local sheriff. And then our county monies are funneled to this Alabama Sheriff's Association, who stands against our Second Amendment rights in most cases. When I went down to speak at the State House at a public hearing for this bill, Scott and Dan, I looked behind me and there was about 30 sheriffs standing behind me waiting to speak against it. The bill didn't pass. It made it through the Senate with flying colors, but we couldn't even get it out of committee in the House because they were standing against it. Just so happened the committee they put it in had about four retired law enforcement officers on it, and they stood with their brothers against the freedoms, against the citizens of the state of Alabama. I'm quite taken aback by that. And not only that, but some of the sheriffs have taken to printing signs quoting the law that was passed last year and carrying them to visit to businesses for them to put up, saying no weapons allowed. And they quote 2013-283. It didn't change anything when that law passed. This was a what I think, personally think, is a retaliation against Bama Carry, because now we've got these signs going up everywhere. And it, the businesses have never changed. They've always had the right to refuse service to you unless you're a federally protected minority group or some minority group. You know, but, I mean, you know, they can make you wear a red hat to do business with them if they want to. That's their right. It's their property. You know, but SB 354, we're going to try to get it back through again this next year. And I'll even say this. The NRA did not get behind that bill and help us with it at all. And the reason was is they promised some of the leaders in the Alabama, of the Alabama lawmakers down here, that they wouldn't try to get anything else passed in 2014. That was a good bill, and we're gonna have it back next year. We're going to have to eat a little bit of this elephant at a time. It took us a long time to get where we're at. And, you know, one thing that we got, Dan, that you don't have, and I'm going to go ahead and get on this right here right quick, is in our state constitution, in our Declaration of Rights, Section 26 very plainly states that citizen that every citizen has a right to bear arms in defense of himself and the state. And it doesn't say anything about a militia. Doesn't say anything about you had to be in the National Guard or anything. And this is in our Declaration of Rights. Now, the last section of the Declaration of Rights concerns the construction of it. And here's where the firewall comes in for our Declaration of Rights. And it basically says that this enumeration of certain rights shall not impair or deny others retained by the people and to guard against any encroachments on the rights herein retained. We declare that everything in this Declaration of Rights is accepted out of the general powers of government and shall forever remain inviolate. What does that mean to the average citizen? It means that the Declaration of Rights was held very highly, and it was removed or accepted out of the general powers of government, which means the government can't touch this. And as the ending, part of the ending on it says, shall forever remain inviolate. Now, you know, inviolate, what? I looked that up, and that basically, I thought I knew what it meant. I was sure I did, but it means forever untouchable, not to be messed with. Don't screw with this. We got it the way we want it. Leave it alone. You can't touch it without a constitutional convention. Now
I wish there we was had that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Either we had a constitutional convention in 1901, and there was actually a proposal to add to Section 26 of the Alabama Constitution. And this was, I don't have the wording right exactly in front of me, but I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, that every citizen has the right to bear arms in defense of himself and the state, but the legislature shall have the authority to regulate small arms, blah, 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 as they see fit. And Scott, Dan, that did not make it in our Constitution. Our lawmakers in 1901 knew what the Section 26, which mimics the Second Amendment, meant to the citizens of the state of Alabama. They would not give authority to the legislature to change it or to regulate it in any way. Yet we started in 1936 regulating small arms, and we moved on from there, so we're where we are today. You know, in Alabama, being an open carry state, this is something interesting that happened here that made the news several weeks ago in the primary. Several people in Shelby County were turned away from the polls because they were visibly wearing a handgun, which is perfectly legal in the state of Alabama. And we feel that several were denied their right to vote because they were armed. Now, you know, I would imagine that our founding fathers probably had rifles standing in the corner when they voted. Many people in Alabama went to the polls armed with a pistol. I was one of them, and voted. Without incident, nobody ran out screaming. You know, I mean, this is Alabama. You know, we don't, most people don't, I've never had anybody run away screaming or even act like I bothered them because I had a pistol on my side. But
oh,
yet,
heck no.
Sheriff,
oh, man.
The sheriff, yeah, the sheriff's three deputies and one city policeman turned our guy away. They had put signs on the polling place that said no weapons. If you go read Alabama's Constitution, we are protected to vote. You can't do anything to anybody while they're trying to vote. I mean, you can't arrest them unless there's, I think there's three, breach of peace, tyranny, and if you're a felon is the only way you can be messed with if you're voting. And so they can't arrest you. They can't stop you going to vote. Our Constitution is pretty doggone clear on that. And it's going to be interesting to see how the chips fall out on this right here. You know, because this
well,
something
is something. And, you know, it all really comes down, and this is what you're really doing. That's why we want to encourage everybody to go to bombacarry.org, look at the information, and help share it. You've said it this number of times, and we talk about baby steps. The left is not afraid to take baby steps. That's how we ended up where we're at right now, is the left is
exactly.
not afraid of baby steps. We are, as Republicans, we never learn from the fox in the cookie jar. We want to grab every cookie we've got, and if we can't pull our hand out, we're just not going to pull it out. But, you know, one of those baby steps that they've used is to uneducate America. They don't talk about the Second Amendment in schools anymore. I would probably beg to say that a good portion of your college students there in Alabama don't fully understand the ramifications of your Alabama Constitution and these laws. And it's one of the baby steps we've got to take. We've got to keep getting out and educating people on our United States Constitution, on our state constitutions, and on our rights. You know, Eddie, it aggravates me when it's something that's blatant. It really aggravates me when it's a politician, especially, or a sheriff or a law enforcement who has sworn on the Bible to uphold the law when they don't know the law. And, you know, you've got cops standing at polling places breaking the law, blatantly breaking the law. They should know better. If I were the chief of police or if I was the sheriff, I'd be putting those guys back in school real quick, make sure they did. But that's one of the things, and that's why we want to take this opportunity again to encourage all of our listeners, go to bamacarry.org, bamacarry.org. Look for the information. Eddie's got the Facebook, the Twitter, everything's all there. Read the stuff, log in, learn about it. I think you've got a $20 membership fee if you're there in Alabama. Join it, and join it in partnership. You know, Eddie, Dan and I are friends. We've become really good friends over this amount of time we've done Blog Talk together, but we're friends because of Herman King and Jennifer as well. Jennifer Montrose and I worked very closely during the Herman King campaign. I in California, she in Alabama. Grew to respect her highly because at 1 o'clock California time, which you know what time that is in Alabama, up would pop my Facebook. You up? I'm working on a project. Can you get on the phone? Hardest working girl I know. But we learned a lot. We learned a lot about organizing. Herman Cain basically took Barack Obama's playbook on organizing, and we organized all the way across the United States. And that's another thing that you're trying to do. You're trying to get your group down there unified and organized and connected so that we can fight these things. We got to get out, and we've got to quit singing to the choir. We do that a lot. We're really good at talking to our Facebook friends who all agree with us. Folks, if you're in Alabama, talk to the guy that's standing behind you at the grocery line. Ask him about his Second Amendment rights. Find out where he's at and talk about these things. Don't be afraid to talk about it at church. You know, we talked on another show this afternoon about the left really, really likes to oppress free speech. That's what that Benghazi video was all about, was oppressing free speech. That's going on down here in Texas. These doctors have been told, don't you dare, you'll be arrested if you talk about what's going on in these immigration centers. Common Core, the same thing. The teachers, the principals, the superintendents, we're told you'll be fired if you talk about Common Core. And we've been told for decades, two things you don't talk about, politics and religion. Well, that's the biggest mudge and malarkey I've ever heard. I'll tell you, that never stopped me from talking about politics and religion no matter where I'm at.
No.
Talk about it in your churches.
Absolutely not.
Talk about it in your churches. Talk about it to your church friends. Don't be afraid to bring up politics. Don't be afraid to tell them what direction our country's going in. You'd be surprised how many people that you go to church with that have no clue as to what's going on in current events. They have no clue what's going on with our 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th Amendments, all the way on up. They don't understand what this fight is about. Don't be afraid to talk about them, because that's how we win the minds and hearts of the people. That's how we change. That's how we affect change. You know, Eddie, I often talk about a – I don't know if you ever saw the story Newsies. It was a Disney musical put out in the 90s. Did you ever see that?
I'm sure I did if it was in the 90s.
I'll tell you, it's one of the best movies ever. It's a musical, but it takes place during at the turn of the century when Pulitzer and Hearst were in charge of the media in New York. They were the big guys, and they had the Newsies. And the Newsies were watching the strikes go on, the garbage strike and the trolley strike, and they were passing out, and they were selling the papers. And they were buying the papers from Hearst and Pulitzer for so much a paper, then they turned around and charged a little bit more and made their profit. Well, Hearst and Pulitzer hated each other, except for when it came to making money. Then they could team up real well. And what they decided they were going to do, they wanted to make a little bit more money. Instead of going to the advertising revenue, they decided to charge the Newsies a little bit more money. And so what the Newsies did was they went on strike. And when they went on strike, they tried to get the word out. And they, of course, Hearst and Pulitzer were going to cover it. The local paper tried to cover it. The guy tried to help them, and he got pulled back and shipped out of town. And so what they did was they went down into the basement, William Randolph Hearst or Pulitzer, I think it was Pulitzer's basement, got on his old printing press and printed out their own paper about the strike that they were having against the papers. And they won the battle. And it's a true story. And, you know, that's what we're doing here. We've got the mainstream media. Eddie, the mainstream media in Alabama and the mainstream media in the United States of America, they don't talk about the Second Amendment much. They don't have that discussion. But you and I and Dan and Jennifer and the great patriots, Jan Morgan, God love her, down in Alabama, yeah, fighting hard for Second Amendment rights. We're all those Newsies. And we're getting the information out step by step. And that's what we do. That's why I want to encourage our listeners, especially in Alabama, go to Alabama Carry, check out the site, join the organization, and step up and help with the fight. Because if we will get enough people standing up, those sheriffs are going to have to follow the law. If we get enough people standing up, they're going to quit making laws that go against the Constitution of Alabama or the Constitution of Texas. Now, I don't give a whole lot of hope to California at this point.
Yeah, really.
But,
yeah.
I'll tell you, though, I don't know. I'm thinking this is a little bit off topic, but I'm thinking Obama's getting ready to battleground Texas, battleground California, and turn it red. He's shipping those immigrants out there to San Diego, and I'm hearing from sources in California is the Democrats are even furious with what is going on down there. San Diego is a hugely conservative area. They block those buses. The buses couldn't get into San Diego this afternoon. But that's what this is all about, folks, and we always want to encourage our listeners, get out, speak to your neighbors, pass the information around. We're the Newsies. We got to go around the mainstream media because they're not getting there. You know, I'll say this, and I'll pass it back to Dan for some more dialogue with you, Eddie, but I don't ever miss a show talking about this. I do my shows. I used to do my shows in the backyard. I used to look at the cows out in California. Here in Texas, I live in a neighborhood. And we've got an alley, and I do my shows from the garage, and I'm standing right now out on my back driveway. And as I look out, I see all these houses in my neighborhood, and there's probably 300, 400 houses in this little neighborhood. I can see the rooftops of basically probably about 100. And I know that if I walked into 100 of those houses and sat down and talked with those people about basic conservative Republican principles, smaller government, love for the Constitution, state control, if we talked about our basic human rights and our basic conservative principles, probably about 80% of those people in those houses would agree with me. But if I walk into those same exact 100 houses and ask them, what's Benghazi? I think there would probably a good portion of them say, well, I don't know, is that an Italian dessert? Because the American people aren't paying attention right now. Now, they're waking up. There's a lot of them getting those letters in the mail that are telling them that they really weren't happy with their health insurance. And things like that are waking them up. But for the most part, the people in our country, they don't talk about the politics around the water cooler. That's taboo. They come home, they sit down, they have dinner, they watch some sitcoms, they watch some evening shows, they go to bed. They really don't pay attention to what's going on. And that's where our fight is. That is where our fight is. I'll tell you, there's a bunch in the Democratic Party that are turnable. I know, because Kate Carl down there with the Frederick Douglass Republicans is converting about 80% of the Democrats that he talks to, because he talks about basic principles, and he talks about our rights, and he talks about where we're going. And we start changing the minds and the hearts of the individuals. We start waking them up to what's really going on and really what is at stake. We will win this battle. And so one more time, I want to encourage our listeners, go to Bama Carey, go to the Facebook, go to the Twitter, go to everywhere you can and help share the message. There's other gun rights groups out there. We got Open Carry here in Texas that made the they made the Rolling Stone magazine with a bunch of my Texas friends this week. Rolling Stone's not really happy with Texas right now. That means we're doing the right thing. But we got to get the word out, folks. So with that, Dan Wilson, I'll pass it back to you to have some more discussion with Eddie.
Okay. One thing I've what happened to me when I was got together with the family, and I was talking about my gun, and I was talking about the history of it. The history of the 1911 is actually very, very interesting. You know, John Browning designed it actually in 1893, and 1899, the government, the military wanted to test it, and they fired the weapon 6,000 rounds nonstop, and the thing got so hot, it was red hot, and they just dumped it in a pail of water, pulled it out, threw another clip in, and continued on firing. And, you know, the generals are just sitting there going, oh, my God, this thing's great. And that's how the 1911 was first picked up by the military and has been the preferred sidearm ever since. The it's been in every war since the Spanish-American War. And I was talking about that. And I'm not going to say who, but this woman said, oh, I bet you can't wait to jump, pull that thing out and kill somebody. And I said, you know something? The last thing I want to do is point this thing in anger or in self-defense at anybody. I said, I'd rather keep it shooting my pieces of paper and my targets. And I'll be very, very happy if I never have to use this thing for its intended purpose, but it is my right, and if it's taken away, then what's going to stop the government from taking the rest of my rights away? And therefore, I want it on my side. And they don't understand that we aren't here. We aren't a bunch of mongers who want to kill people. we just simply want our right to carry and to protect our family if necessary. People don't understand that, and the left thinks that we're just a bunch of murderers, and there's nothing that can be further from the truth. And see, that's the problem, is that they take it to extremes, and they don't understand why we want our weapons. And we want our weapons for protection, not as an offensive piece of, an offensive piece, but actually a defensive. If somebody breaks into my house today, Scott knows, and I think I told you as well, I have stage 4 heart disease. What am I going to do? I couldn't beat up a field mouse. And, you know, I couldn't stop somebody from, raping my fiance or anything. But now my 1911 can. And that's what I want it for. You know, I'm not a murderer. Nobody is. I mean, it's like the people who carry these things legally are the ones that are least likely to use it illegally. The people who use it illegally are the ones that don't legally own that weapon. And this is something else we have to get out to the general public, is that 98% of the crimes that involve weapons, the weapons are not legally owned, you know, and we need to start changing the propaganda that's been put up against us. You know, it's like, what happened in Connecticut. That was terrible. That kid did not own those guns. You know, his mother bought them. And we need to turn around and change that, this attitude, and tell the truth. People who own these guns, we respect these things. And if we have children around, we have safes where we put them, or we separate, the firing mechanism and hide in one place. And, we do a lot to make sure that our children can't get to these things and hurt themselves. That's what the responsibility of owning a weapon. And, the NRA pushes that. Any group, any gun group pushes that. From how you handle it, like you don't go up to your friend talking to him, pointing your gun at him. You take your weapon out and you keep it pointed down until you're bringing it up to aim at somebody or something. We just need to really change the entire attitude. Don't you agree?
I would agree in that, Dan, I would agree. Now, Alabama, to get a permit in Alabama, you don't have to have any training. And I would be, Bama Carry would stand against any training requirement before you get a permit. However, we very, very strongly encourage those who have a weapon to train with it. If you go out and buy a handgun and carry it home and put it in your house, you've never fired it, it's not going to do you any good because you're not even going to know how to operate it in a stressful situation. And, one thing that we've been called, and you kind of touched on a little bit, is we've been called radicals. Actually, we have a one of our lawmakers here in Alabama on video calling Bama Kerry a bunch of radicals. And the only thing we are radical about is follow the Constitution. If that makes me a radical, then I'm guilty. I'm guilty. You know, political correctness is what's killing us. We're so afraid to stand up because we're going to say, oh, somebody's going to say, oh, you're a racist, you're a bigot. You know, you're this, you that, you're a homophobe. You know, you. But you know what? I have never read in our constitutions anywhere where I have the right to not be offended. I'm offended every day, Dan. Every day.
Oh,
I'm
yeah,
offended.
We all are.
You know, and we don't have a right not to be offended. Just because I don't agree with you does not mean that I hate you, dislike you, you know, or anything. It just means we disagree, and that's okay. That's part of being an American, in my opinion. Let's disagree. If there's something we don't like, let's change it, you know. But, Scott, I appreciate you pumping us up on the membership thing there, but here's an extra little shot on it, too. On Labor Day of this year, we're going to give an AR away, one of those rifles that Dan was talking about. We're going to give one away to a vested member. It costs $20 to be a vested member of Bama Kerry. You can do that on the webpage, bamakerry.org. There's a button there you can click and join, and we'll send you a membership card. We'd love to have you as a member. You do not have to be in the state of Alabama. If you win the AR, and this is an AR-15 Colt SOCOM. This is a high-dollar AR-15. It'd be in excess of $2,000. It's brand new. And we're gonna draw a name out of a hat. It probably won't be a name out of a hat, but for lack of a better term. And one of our vested members is going to own that on Labor Day. So if you're out of state, doesn't matter. We'll ship it to an FFL out there. If you're in Texas or Florida, wherever you are, and you know you can own that weapon, but you got to be vested. Just because you're a member of the Facebook page or the web page does not mean that you're a vested member. It costs $20 to be a vested member. And Scott, one thing you were talking about was our churches, and let me share this with you. This is the second year in a row that I have taught a gun class at our church. And the name of the class is Firearms Past and Present. And basically what I did in those classes would go through from gunpowder to the AR-15, basically the modern military rifle. We had some military rifles up through there and just show how weapons had progressed from the simple hand cannons, the match locks, flip locks, percussion, all the way up to the metallic cartridge. You know, and how it changed. Oh, the operation of guns. And we also had FBI certified instructor, one of the law enforcement officers that goes to church with me, taught a class on gun safety at our church. And, you know, it's important to get your church involved. I think the next class I'm going to probably teach will be Constitution and Christianity and how the two coincide. And, you know, it's as many people as we have in the churches, it's sad that we can't get things changed in our Constitution. And a lot of that is because we don't preach it and teach it in our churches. You know, we're afraid that they're going to cut our tax-exempt status if we say anything about politics, which is just ludicrous to me. I don't find anywhere in the Constitution about separation of church and state. That's a media coin phrase. If I'm wrong, I hope somebody shows me I'm wrong. But I've not seen that anywhere in the Constitution. I dare you show it to me.
Amen.
But
no, it's not ideal.
Anybody,
I mean,
we we stray away from social issues and stuff like that on Bama Kerry, and we try to maintain our focus on the Second Amendment because that's one thing that people can rally around. People that care about the Second Amendment and the Constitution are very passionate people. And we have actually, I have watched some people on our page learn how to argue and make a point without using profanity because we don't allow profanity on our on our site, and it just runs too many people off. So they have learned to state their opinions, and it's really been an eye-opener, and it gives me great pleasure to know that people can actually learn to carry on a decent conversation without having to interject name-calling and do a good job of it. And most people come on there to learn, and that's exactly what you'll do. If you come on there and ask a question, now if you come on there and say something like, you know, I don't think anybody ought to be able to have a 15-round clip, a magazine. I don't think anybody ought to be able to have a 15-round magazine. And, you know, and I don't think anybody ought to be able to carry a weapon. You're going to get land blasted pretty quick and probably not going to be very happy on the site. But we're there to learn. We're there to learn and educate, and we have done that. And I get little private messages and emails all the time of people thanking me for the site. And it's not me. We got 5 members on our board of directors, and all of them are good guys. I trust all of them with everything I got, you know. And that's how Bama Carry was formed. We have an advisory board of about 20. I believe the advisory board right now is about 23. And we have a meeting with them via Skype every once a month, and our board members meet once a month. So we try to take input from what's going on and try to get a pulse of everything, and you know, that everybody has a part. The main decisions still fall down to the board members, of course, but, you know, we want to know what everybody thinks. Are we doing good? You know, because we want to do good, and we want to be the and we are the gun rights organization in the state of Alabama right now, without a doubt. And a lot of our groups are courting, I think is a bad word, but they talk to their senators and the representatives. We have them at meetings. Our meeting this month is we're going to have a one of our senators from the state of Alabama is going to be there. Gerald Allen, his name. He's a Republican candidate. We had the Democratic guy, Phil Poole, last month, so Gerald will be coming this month, and we'll be getting into the sheriff's races, and we've put on candidates' forums here and tried to encourage people to get out and go to those. A lot of it is just apathy, and people don't care, and they don't think their vote counts. But let me tell you what, man, we had a sheriff, an incumbent sheriff, in the county right next to us up in Fayette County was defeated by 15 votes. 15 votes, the incumbent lost his seat. And you think your vote doesn't count? You know, you think, I don't want to go waste my vote. No, you waste your vote when you sit at home and don't use it. That's when your vote's wasted. You know, yeah. So we try to get everybody to vote. We go to gun shows, and one thing we're adding this next gun show, and actually it's Saturday week now. On July the 12th, I believe it's when it starts up in Birmingham, we'll be at a gun show there, Bama Carry will. And we're going to try to get people to register to vote. You know, it's disheartening to talk to somebody and hear them gripe and complain, and you ask them where their voting precinct is. Oh, I'm not registered to vote. Well, shut up and get out of my face. I don't want to hear you griping. You know,
amen.
If you're going to gripe, you better stink and vote. You know,
I call it bitching rights.
Well, that would be a good word for it, I suppose. But, you know, it's important to vote. It's really important to vote. And so that we try to mobilize our folks. And now, with the right around 10% vested members in Bama Carry, we are the lawmakers are starting to call us, you know. And I think that's great, and it shows that they are watching us. They know that we're going to be a force in the state soon, and we are a force now, but we're really going to be a force in the future. And the only thing that we are going to have to do to make that stay good, for lack of a better word, is to keep our focus on the Second Amendment, because as passionate as we are about that, social issues can rip us apart, and we just don't want to be a part of that. We try our best to keep social issues off the site. But if you're interested in fighting for your constitution and freedoms, you're in the right place. You're in the right place.
Well, I'm glad to hear you're doing gun safety. Number one, I was raised in a home where there were guns in the home. They were locked up. I was a hyperkinetic young man. My mom and dad were very, very smart to put a big old padlock on the guns when I was little. And as much as I'm opposed to any kind of regulation of our Second Amendment rights, any kind of infringement on those rights, I am just as big a proponent of gun safety and classes and learning how to properly use your firearm. And Jan Morgan earlier, she just rocks in my world. She gets out and she goes places and she teaches people how to do that. You're doing that. And starting in our churches, you know, one of our biggest problems, and Neil Mammon taught me this, the author of the book Jesus Was in Politics, says two-thirds of our Christians don't vote. They're just not voting. If they were all voting, we wouldn't be having the problems we're having right now. And the thing that bothers me the most is, you always go back where you started from. This great country was started because we had a bunch of men and women over on the other side of the pond who did not have religious freedom. And they got in those rickety old boats, took 2 months crossing across the Atlantic Ocean. They showed up to nothing. When we moved from California to Texas, you know, we showed up with a house that had electricity and water on. We parked the U-Haul and went down to a restaurant and had a fine meal. When the Pilgrims showed up there at Plymouth Rock, there was nothing. And they did that because to flee religious persecution. And when we get down to the basics of we're the far left, and I'm not talking about mom and dad Democrat who were still think they're stuck in John F. Kennedy's party. I'm talking about the far left. When we start looking at exactly what they want, the Christians' rights are the first things they're after. And it's so important for the Christians to get out and vote, and it's so important to be talking about that in our churches. It is so important to be sharing our constitutional rights, especially the Second Amendment, in our churches and educating people in that way. I want to ask you this, and then I'll pass it back over to Dan and have some more dialogue with you. What kinds of things are going on in the next few months in Alabama, especially anything that Alabama Carry is putting on, organizational things going on, Tea Party stuff going on, whatever, where people of Alabama can attend to help support you or anything like that? Is there anything coming up that we can let our listeners know?
You can actually go to the BamaCarry.org page and go to the events column and click on it, and you'll probably find a meeting somewhere close to you that you could probably drive to. And keep an eye on that. That's usually updated, and it'll be 2 to 3 weeks out where you can, you can look 2 to 3 weeks out in front and see. We have meetings in the Montgomery area. We have meetings in northeast Alabama. We get meetings in Huntsville, Marion County. There's about 17, I believe it is, satellite groups of Bama Carry. So there'll be one around you somewhere. And these operate different dates of the month. Usually it's a once a month meeting is the way that works, Scott. And something's going on once a month, probably close enough to you that you can drive to. And there's some parts of the state that we're not quite into yet, but we'd love to. We'd love to be into every county. You know, we're not into every county, but we're running close to it. So, we have some groups that cover 3 counties, but then they have good meetings. Usually the meetings here in Tuscaloosa run between 60 and 90 every month, and usually 8 to 10 new people. At times we've had well over 100 here, and some of the meetings up in northeast Alabama are running 90 and 100. Some may run only 20 to 30 people, but they're all there, and they're all got a passion for the Second Amendment and freedom and liberty. And they are intent on holding the lawmakers to their oath of office. So you can find somewhere around you, something happening around you somewhere easily, I think. And if you just go on the page and have trouble finding that, if you just say, hey, I'm in Baldwin County. We got a group in Baldwin County, but just for instance, if you're in Baldwin County just say, hey, I'm in Baldwin County, who meets here? And somebody will say, hey, we meet here at this time, and there you be. So it's easy to find somewhere to go and learn more about Bama Carry. We also got T-shirts and stuff on there, too, if you want to show your colors on there, or our colors, rather. We got T-shirts on the shop page, too. So
excellent.
And we need to sell those, too.
Hey, that's right. And, you know, the money's going to good work. You know, we got some of our bigger organizations in this country that a lot of times I'm not too encouraged to send them some money. I'm not quite sure how they're using it. But I do know that Jennifer Montrose tells me you guys are using it very, very wisely. And that's so important. And you know, folks, if you're especially in Alabama, get one of those T-shirts and wear them. There is no better support you can give than to support your team by wearing your shirt. But it's also a great conversational starter. You know, I supported I'll just throw this in there. I supported a candidate here who won. We're very proud of him, Bob Hall. He's going to be one of our next state senators, most likely. He's got these bright orange shirts with Vote Bob Hall. And I took my girls down to the mall, and we wore our shirts. And every single person that passed us looked at those shirts. And a couple of people stopped and asked me, and I got an opportunity to talk. So that's another reason. I want to throw this one thing in. I almost forgot, and then I'll pass it over to Dan. We talk about separation of church and state and the pulpit. There has not been one church in the United States of America that has been pursued for preaching politics from the pulpit. Now, I am embarrassed to say that Texas is kind of responsible for that little mess. It was our dear Lyndon Johnson who threw that in real quickly, and it's been there ever since. And I'll tell you, there's actually about 1,000 congregations of Christians across the United States, preachers, who have been preaching politics from the pulpit blatantly and turning themselves in, because they want to take this to the Supreme Court. And the IRS will not bite, because they know when it all comes down to it, it falls apart real quick. So if you're a preacher, if you're a leader in your congregation, do not be afraid to talk politics from the pulpit. Now, and let me say that with this, I'm a firm believer in preaching Bible from the pulpit. But there are some things that when, especially when it comes to the Word of God, that are directly related to what we're fighting today. And don't be afraid to touch those issues. It's very important. Dan Wilson down in Florida, you know, I remember when Janet Reno, I was living down there when Janet Reno was driving around in a little red truck running for governor. It was kind of funnier than Wendy Davis here in Texas, and that's been pretty funny, actually. But Dan Wilson, thank goodness Janet Reno didn't make it. She did cause some havoc in our country, but thank goodness she didn't cause a whole lot of havoc in the state of Florida any more than she did. With that, I'll pass it to you, Dan.
Okay. One thing, if you're as a history fan, most of the plans made during the Revolution were either made in churches or in bars, and it all depended on really timing. And you know, it's the famous Midnight Ride of Paul Revere: one if by land and two if by sea, and I on the opposite shore will be. That's the old North Church. So the church has been involved and are right from day one in our revolution. So there is no argument there. When it comes, even today, as I said, preachers need to get up and talk. The problem is, I think, is with the churches themselves, is that their hierarchy don't want to get involved. And at least that's what's going on with the Catholic Church. They want to make sure it goes on with what they want. and then not what the individual priest says. So that's one of the problems right now. It's many of the churches have become too political themselves, that they do not want their own preachers to go out and, let's say, go against or for something and stand their ground. So we're going to have to work on that one as well. And when I was talking about gun safety, I don't want it as a law. I would like it as something like when you're buying your gun and the guy is going through and explaining everything, suggesting, that, the church down the street is having a gun safety class for free, or we offer them, for $25, whatever, or something like that. Or it's being held at the high school on Wednesday nights, and something like that, and leaving it at that. The person chooses to do that, great. If they don't, and they pick up, for instance, a 1911, and they don't know how to fire it, they're going to find out the hard way. You put your hands in the wrong place, you're going to be a lot of blood. but that's it. That's leave that up to the individual. And, let them take on their own responsibility. But saying that, these are dangerous weapons if not handled correctly. And I recommend that you go there. And especially if you have children, and leave it at that. I don't say that the state should get involved. Just like, sailing, for instance. If you go out and buy a sailboat and you don't know how to sail, I'm going to recommend to you that you take sailing lessons. it's common sense. But I don't want to see a law about that either. We have the rights to make these decisions ourselves. And it is not the state that should be making these decisions. It's the individual. And it can be suggested, but you leave it at that. Then it's up to the individual. See, that's the whole idea behind freedom, is that the state doesn't tell you what to do. You decide on your own. And that's the key to freedom. In England, they told you what church to go to. That you had to go to the Church of England, and that was your only choice. And if you went against that, you were in trouble. And that's why the people, the Puritans, originally left England and established the Massachusetts Bay Colony is, freedom of religion. And where the term separation of church and state actually came from Roger Williams, and why he said that, is that in 1621 he came over from England to get, he was a Baptist minister and theologian, and he of course was being persecuted by England for being Baptist. So he left England for the New World and freedom of religion, and he walked into Boston, and the Puritans attacked him. So he went up to just north of Boston, and the Puritans attacked him. Finally, he had to go down to Rhode Island, and he put in the state charter that no, the state does not have the authority to tell who to, what church we are to attend. And that was where the concept began of separation of church and state. And when they were talking about that, they were just saying, listen, you know, if I'm Baptist, I'm going to be Baptist and you can be Catholic and whatever. And that's why the first synagogue is in Rhode Island. And many of the first Episcopalian also was in Rhode Island. And it didn't need to be put into the Constitution, because by the time the Constitution was written, almost 200 years later, it was a given. So that's where separation of church and state came from. It was a concept and not a a law. So I figured I'd give a little history on that, being from Rhode Island originally. So, but yeah, that's what I felt about with guns. You know, handguns or bow and arrows or whatever. Or even driving, driving farm equipment. If you don't know how to operate it, you know, it'd be a good idea to have somebody show you. And that's that, you know. And so sorry if I made it sound like I thought it was, it should be a law. I think with the Second Amendment, I think there should be zero attached to it. And if people want something like no assault rifles or something like that, you go through the constitutional process and you change it. But until then, you leave freedom of, you know, the right to bear arms as is. And if you want to carry a howitzer around, it's going to be heavy, but you can do it, you know. Because the state, and if the state doesn't like those laws, or, I mean, the federal government doesn't like it, there's a constitutional process to change it. But riders are not it. And with that, I'll pass it to whoever wants it next.
Go ahead,
Eddie. Training's a big thing, and, you know, some states require that, and Alabama doesn't. And so that's the reason that we would be against it. We're for going back to the Constitution. I say again, right. No compromise. And when you give up the right to own and carry a weapon until you meet the government's approval, whatever level of training that might be, I know some of the states like Illinois have come online as now they're required to issue permits to their citizens, but they've made it so hard because the training requirements that they have to go through, that it's still very difficult to even get a weapon. So that's a slippery slope, and I'm glad you're on the right side of the fence on that one, Dan. But you know,
yeah,
we encourage training. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
We encourage training. You know, and we've actually got one of the members of our group. He's on the he's a law enforcement officer here in town. And I'm talking about the local Tuscaloosa group here that puts on classes all the time. And he comes to our meetings on occasion and, you know, talks about his classes. And we have we've had the district attorney come out, the county district attorney come out and talk to us on Stand Your Ground, Castle Doctrine. And, you know, you need to educate yourself, and that's the reason that we try to do education, because people do need to be educated, you know.
Right.
What you can, how you can carry, you know, you don't want to pull the trigger. You know, I mean, you know, nobody that I know of really wants to take anybody else's life. You know, I don't know people like that. But I also don't know anybody that wants to allow somebody to take them away from their family either. If that makes sense. I don't want to hurt anybody, but I don't want anybody taking me away from my family either. And you know, I'll stand in the gap for anybody, you know, and that's the reason I carry, not just for me, but for anybody that's around me, you know, that's if any mayhem, that's to steal a coin of phrase from the guy on TV, you know, mayhem happens everywhere. So you can't ever regulate where, you know, you might need a weapon. And that's one thing that I had a bone to pick with our lawmakers last year on the bill. They actually, you know, our Constitution was ratified in 1819, I believe it is. And 1819 until 2013, we never had a list of places that you could not carry a weapon. And now Alabama has a list of places where you can't carry a weapon, thanks to our lawmakers. And one of the fears that we have is because, you know, I spoke earlier about the Alabama Sheriff's Association. They actually sent out a memo to all the sheriffs asking them to put no weapon signs on all the polling places. Why they did that, I have no idea. We had, as far as we know, two counties that put those out. And for those of you in Alabama, one of them was Chambers County, and the other one was Shelby County, which is right next to Jefferson County, whereas Birmingham is, to kind of give you an idea of the location. Chambers County is in the lower southeast corner of Alabama, and we actually have a guy down there named Jimmy Allen running for sheriff. He's a Bama Carry, card-toting Bama Carry member, and he made it through the primary, and he's running for sheriff of Chambers County. And he's a good friend of mine. I call him a good friend. But he went to his polling place to vote that morning for the primary, and they had a no weapons sign up. And he raised Cain about that, and the district attorney and the probate judge and whoever else was involved in it down there got their heads together, and they said, man, we can't do this. They told us the wrong law, and it doesn't even apply to the putting signs in polling. And they went and took all the – absolutely 0 cents. They went and took all the signs down. But the sheriff and evidently the police chief of police in Shelby County up there decided they were going to keep the signs up, and they did. And they turned people away voting because of it. And we don't know what's going to happen with that. We're in conference with some lawyers about it now. And we don't think we can really – let that go by. That's too much of an infringement on a right. When you keep somebody from voting, you've done something horrible to him.
Oh, you're taking away the number one thing that our Constitution works around is voting.
The most important right you have is the right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
You know what is they say? The soapbox, the ballot box, and then comes the ammo box.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what our forefathers did, you know. I mean, I don't think our forefathers would have stood up for the stuff that we've putting up with now. And actually, if you read the U.S. Constitution, I've got a little pocket Constitution I keep with me all the time.
You and I both.
The deck
out and just pulling it out.
Yeah, the Declaration of Independence, and but if you pull it out and read it, the Declaration of Independence, it states the reason we separated, you know, and it's the same things that our government is doing to us right now.
Oh, it's
a scary
thing.
You know, it's a scary thing. So. But
and,
just to read it. It's a short read. It's a short read, and y'all and people need to read it and understand. You know, we're on the last opportunity to stand for something that means something, to get back what we had. It's
right.
We're right here on the verge of something really bad happening, I feel, and you know, I just think that it wouldn't take hardly anything to start a war. I think in the United States, I don't think we're all that far from it. I hope we can avert it. Nobody wants that, I don't think. Well, let me take that back. I'm sure some people want that, but I do not. You know, I want this thing fixed. I want our rights restored by peaceful means, you know, going by the ballot, holding the lawmakers to the oath of office. And we just feel like that's the way to go. And it's like Scott said, if you can go down and through the neighborhood and sit and talk to people and explain to them how the things work, they'll see it your way. They can't see it any other way. Most people see it our way. They just don't know. They just don't know that they see it, see freedom the way we do.
That is so true. And we are stacking up towards the top of the hour. We got 15 minutes left, so it's time to start rounding up the show and getting our closing remarks in. It has been a great show. Jimmy, it is always so good to have you on the show. You're very educated. You're very educated on the laws and on the Constitution. You know what you're talking about. And that's so important to us here because that's what this show is about. This show is about sharing information. We're going to encourage people to share this show, and we continue to support you there at Bomacare for everything you do because that's how we change this. And I'm with you. I believe that most people don't want to take this to a revolution or a war. I believe there's a small handful. Like I say, you know, I saw a Gallup poll from 2009 where 5% of the American public consider themselves to be far left. I've seen that number as high as about 10 or 12. But it makes up a very, very small fraction of our country that is on that crazy side. I believe
right.
There's a bunch of middle-of-the-road Democrats who, like you just said, just really don't know exactly how much closer to us than they are. Actually, if you take the Republican Party today and take it to Grandma and Grandpa's Democratic Party of yesterday, I think most of them would be Republicans right now. And it's a matter of spreading the word and getting it out. But we want to thank you so much for coming on. We always enjoy it when you do. We'll have to have you on in a couple of other shows up here soon. We got a couple of other shows here on Contending for Truth Radio. Want to give those shout outs to everybody. Don't forget Thursday nights we've got Conover U with the Rodney Lee Conover. We are changing that show's time this week. We are going to start doing that at 5:00 California time, 7:00 Texas time, of course 8:00 Eastern time. Make that a little bit easier. We've got Joe the Plumber is really wanting to call in and participate a lot in that show, and he's in Eastern time, so it makes it a little bit easier. If we move that forward, it's a little bit easier on Rodney. We're getting some great publicity on that show. Of course, Joe the Plumber's been publicizing it for us. That gets us a great audience, and we want to give a shout-out to Dan Butcher in the Pundit Press, who broadcasts all our shows live and everything, and as well as our archives, as well as our own Dan Wilson is writing for the Pundit Press. So we want to remember that. We want to remember Ladies Bible Class on Fridays, the reason why we've got Contending for Truth Radio in the first place. I sit down here in Texas, and to continue to teach the class that I've taught for 5 years in California, the only difference is I don't get to eat the cinnamon rolls when the ladies gather together in California in Springville around the table. But now they put the laptop out there on the table, and I broadcast Ladies Bible Class, and we've just continued like there was no tomorrow. We've been on hiatus for a couple of weeks. I do believe we'll start back in again this Friday. Some of the ladies have been traveling, but they should be all back this Friday at John and Betty's table with the coffee and the cinnamon rolls that I don't get anymore. And then, of course, on Saturday, we've got Saturday Symposium. Dan Wilson and I talking about people who have been there and done that and talking a lot about history and our rights and a lot of these same subjects. So I want to remember everybody. You can also go to all of our archives. You can go to the Contending for Truth Radio page at Blog Talk and go back through all of our archives over the last couple of years. We've had some great shows, had some great guests. You can go back through there and look. Most of the guests are tagged in the shows. You can do that as well. We've missed Jennifer Montrose tonight. A little stinker is eating Italian food, and she keeps popping these little messages to us in the background about what she's eating, and she's making me really hungry. We want to give a shout-out to her. Always miss her when she's not here, but she has been so, so busy. and we are so proud of her. Such a hard-working girl. She is, in fact, not just working in Alabama. She's working in Alabama and Louisiana now and making a difference. Pretty much been the driving force behind getting that bill passed through the House, through the Senate, and to the governor's desk and signed to keep the far-left extreme animal rights people to leave Tony the Tiger at Tony's truck stop, which has been very important, folks, because it's the same kind of people that want to take away your cat and your dog as well. All you have to do is listen to them talk. So we want to give a big shout-out to Jennifer. All the things going on. Eddie, I called you Jimmy. I've got Jimmy on my mind. Eddie, I want to thank you so much again for coming on. You're always a great guest. I want to pass it to you for any concluding remarks you want to give. Don't forget, everybody, go to bombacary.org. You can find the Facebook and the Twitter there. Share the information, especially if you're in Alabama. Get involved. Buy a T-shirt. Wear it to the mall and talk to some people. I'll pass it back to you, Eddie.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so very much. I also want to mention, too, I forgot, that we have an app for your iPhone and a Droid also. And just go to your apps and search for Bama and put a space in there, Carry, B-A-M-A space C-A-R-R-Y. It's a free app. You can load it right up. And when you tap on the app, you'll get our main page, or you can get the current events. And we get a tremendous amount of hits on the current events page. It's Second Amendment news and Patriot stuff that happens around our nation, and it keeps a lot of people informed. And also on there you can find those events that I was telling you about to find a place near you. I encourage you to get involved. If you don't want to get involved with Bama Carry, goodness, get involved with somebody and make a difference. Stand for freedom, and, you know, I have to – go to the old song, the old country song, if you don't stand for something, you fall for anything. And guys, people are falling for anything, and it's not the right thing, I assure you. Fall on the side of the fence that's got the big capital F for freedom, and be a true patriot and stand up for your country and be counted. That's about all I got tonight, Scott. I appreciate you having me on, and I enjoyed it tremendously. And God bless you and yours, Dan and Scott.
Okay. And Dan, I'll pass it to you for any concluding remarks and conversation with Eddie.
Well, Eddie, I agree with you 300%. You know, our Constitution is only second to the Bible, and it is our responsibility to make sure it is protected and defended. And the only way we can do that is getting out there and educating the people. And first thing we need to do is bring God back in the center of our country. Second thing we need to do is make sure that he has the Constitution in his hand when he comes back. Very, very important, both. You know, religion and the Constitution, they go hand in hand because that's how our country was formed. And you know, this administration is trying to take that away, and we're going to show them that that's not the way it goes, and we're going to bring things back the way it's supposed to be. And with that, you know, listen to our show on Saturday morning. You know, we talk about the past a lot, and you know, the Constitution in the early days of our nation, when people stood up and, when it comes down to the Constitution, we can do what Henry David Thoreau did. And I recommend you all read his book, Civil Disobedience, because it tells you how to fight the government without bearing arms. And there's a way you can do it. And, you know, may God bless all of you. And with that, I'll pass it back over to Scott. And we got a little special closing piece. Did you ever, Andy, listen to Red Skelton's Pledge of Allegiance?
Oh, you're talking to me? Yes, I did.
Yeah.
I have. Several times.
Oh, wonderful. And we're going to close with that because of the fourth coming up. And with that, I'll pass it over to Scott.
Thank you, Dan, and thank you, Eddie. It was a great show, even if we didn't have our anchor down there in Alabama, Jennifer Montrose, with us tonight. We always miss her when she's not here. Feels a little bit empty to go through a show without her. One more thing I do want to mention, and then we are going to, like Dan said, we're going to close with some Red Skelton in a couple of weeks on July 10th on the Conover U Show. We are going to have a very special show, a show that I've been looking forward to for quite a while. We are going to have the Politichicks. We're going to have Dr. Dina. We're going to have Anne-Marie. We're going to have some of the contributing writers, Lainey Sloan, my good friend from California, is helping us put together. We're looking forward to that, so I want to remind everybody to tune in for that on the Conover U Show. They do a lot of great work, like we've said over and over again tonight, and like we say all the time, it's all about spreading information and getting the information out. And let me tell you, those women are working hard to do just that. So with that, it's been a great show. Thank you again, Eddie. One more time, go to bombacary.org, find the information, and share it. If you're in Alabama, especially, join it. Show up at a meeting. Get involved, folks. It's all about getting involved. I do believe after Ronald Reagan, we ended up laying on our couches thinking everything was really good, and we woke up one day and Barack Obama was the president. We still got a bunch of people to get up off the couch, and we're going to continue to do that. And with that, we always love this because we use this for our opening on Saturday Symposium, but we're coming up to the 4th of July, and the Pledge of Allegiance is important to us, and the flag is so important to us. You know, that flag stands for freedom. And I'll tell you, we see the fight going on all over the place. We had an apartment complex down here in Texas not too long ago. Told the guy he couldn't fly his flag. Well, it wasn't about 5 hours later that they were recanting on that. They found out what a big, difficult thing. But that Pledge of Allegiance is so important, and Red Skelton's going to explain it to us. And it's not from the people, it's not from the leaders to the people. Like you said, Eddie, it's from the people to the leaders. We're their bosses. They're not our bosses. And so with that, Red Skelton, we'd like for you to tell us about that teacher that you had up there in Indiana. So we're just going to pass it to you. Thanks. This is Continuing for Truth Radio. Good night.
I remember a teacher that I had. Now, I went through the seventh grade. I went to the seventh grade. I left home when I was 10 years old because I was hungry. I work in the summer and I go to school in the winter. But I had this one teacher. It was the principal of the Harrison School in Vincennes, Indiana. To me, this was the greatest teacher, a real sage of my time, anyhow. He had such wisdom. And we were all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day. And he walked over, this little old teacher, Mr. Laswell was his name. Mr. Laswell, he says, he says, I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester, and it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word? I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and my devotion to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom, wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United. That means that we have all come together. States. Individual communities that have united into 48 great states. 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose, and that's love for country. And to the Republic, A state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people. And it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people, for which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life, without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation. And justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others. For all. For all. Which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance, under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer and that would be eliminated from schools too?